The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Pat Williams Power Hour on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word. This is your hour when Orlando Magic Senior Vice President Pat Williams sits down and speaks with authors who have written books on topics of interest and insight for listeners like you. And now, here's your host, Pat Williams.
Welcome again, folks, to the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour right here on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word. In Orlando, Alan Dempsey engineers for us each weekend, and Andrew Herdliska does the producing, and Andrew has produced Craig Johnson here in the first half hour. He's in Houston. We're going to talk about his book, simply called Champion. Craig, first of all, welcome. I'm so glad that we can join here. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's an honor to be with you.
How one boy's miraculous journey led to this book. Craig, give us an overview of this title and this book, and then we're going to plow into the meat of your book.
Yeah, it really tells our story about when we found out the diagnosis of our son, Connor, being on the middle of the spectrum with autism, and how it changed our world. It was kind of an unrehearsed destiny. You know, we didn't plan it, but God had planned all along. And then the book, as it tells our story, it really begins to speak into how you overcome challenges, how you work through issues the same way that we did. And it's really a celebration of everyone who fulfills their purpose, you know, through unexpected challenges.
You open your book with this topic, the calm before the storm. What was going on here?
Yeah, that first chapter kind of talks about, you know, when we found out that our son had autism and just what we experienced. And I'll never forget, you know, we had two kids. We had a boy and a girl. We'd kind of planned it out. They were 10, 12 years old. And, you know, we planned out having our kids early. And little did we know, I went to get a vasectomy on a Thursday, and my wife came in crying on the following Saturday and said, "You won't believe it, but I'm pregnant." Mm. And then I start crying. And, you know, it was a shock. But after we got through the shock, you know, it was so exciting. And then shortly after that, we moved to Houston from California. And I would say when Connor was 2 years, where he was talking to us, where he was giving us a hug and a kiss, where he was playing with other friends, now all of a sudden that just stopped. And where he would play with other friends, now he'd play by himself. Where he would give us a hug and a kiss, he stopped showing no emotion whatsoever and would look away. And where he would talk to us, he stopped talking altogether. And so we kind of talk about with calm before the storm. We had no idea the storm that was coming, but God was getting us prepared.
Then you talk about or write about bend, but don't break. What was happening here?
Yeah, with bend but don't break, it really starts to get into when we found out, you know, that Connor was on the middle of the spectrum. We got the diagnosis, and I'll never forget, you know, during that time, you know, when you get that kind of diagnosis, you know, you get all these thoughts, you know, of fear, you know, and your child's not going to be like your other children, and your child is going to struggle all of his life. And I remember getting those thoughts, you know, in my mind and everything. And I remember, Pat, when my wife called me with that diagnosis, I just, instead of listening to those thoughts of fear, I began to speak words of faith. And I hit the gas on my car, and I drove home, and I drove up the driveway, and I ran upstairs and picked up my two-year-old boy, and I held him on my arms. And I said, "You're not a victim. You're a victor. You can do all things in Christ who strengthens you. You're more than a conqueror." And that day I knew that we may bend, but we're not going to break. We're going to keep going, not give up.
Now I want you to explain to us, do you trust me with a question mark?
Yeah, do you trust me was a pivotal time. We had tried everything, you know, working with our son and, you know, as any parent does, and you're trying to figure out the diagnosis. And this was our challenge. You know, other people's challenges might be finances. They might be relationships, different things like that. But this is our challenge. And when Connor stopped talking, he knew at one time he could talk, but now he couldn't get it out. So he'd get very frustrated and have these terrible meltdowns. I mean, even to the point where he'd scratch his arms, scratch his face, and bang his head up against the wall. And I remember one time it got so bad, my wife just said out frustration, I'm not sure if I can take it anymore. And I remember driving to work after that. My wife's my hero. She was just saying out frustration. She didn't mean it. But I remember driving to work one day, and I probably had the most intimate conversation with God I've ever had. And I just asked God why. And I remember just God speaking to me through my mind and my heart. He just said, Craig, your child is not a burden. Your child's a gift. And I said, God, I know what you mean. We love our son. And he said to me again, he said, Craig, your child is not a burden. Your child's a gift. You're looking at everything that's wrong with him. You're not looking at everything that's right. And I said, God, what do you mean? He said, Craig, I'm going to use your son to reach millions of people. Hmm. At that time, I couldn't see it. Even as a pastor, even as a leader, I was real vulnerable. And I picked up a bottle of water and I said, God, my son can't even ask for a drink of water. How's he going to reach millions of people? And then God just spoke to me four words, and they're four words when you're in the desert, when you're in a drought or a dry time and you need a cool cup of water. He just said this. He said, do you trust me? And I said, you're all we've got, but I trust you. And that's how kind of our journey led into our miracle.
Baal Perazim, the God of the breakthrough. Explain that.
Yeah, that's a passage in the Bible where Baal Perazim actually means a breakthrough. It's where a breakthrough took place in the Bible. And our breakthrough came right after that prayer, you know, that were at that time with God. And, you know, we were really struggling. I thought after I had the conversation with God, things were going to get better, but they actually got worse. And I remember during that time, you know, I couldn't pray elaborate prayers, but all I could say was, I trust you. And I found out with God, that's enough. But about 3 minutes later, my wife came in calling from upstairs. And she said, Craig, get up here. And I ran upstairs, and she was in Connor's room. And I said, what is it? And she said, Craig, I was putting Connor to bed. I was reading a couple books, and I just was saying a prayer with him, and all of a sudden he began to speak. And he began to say one word after another word, one sentence after another sentence. And you got to understand, I haven't heard my son put together two words in probably about 3 years. And I said, what do you mean he began to speak? And my wife said, he began to speak. And I said, what do you say? And my wife walked me over his bed, leaned over his bed, and said, Connor, say it for Mommy and Daddy. Say it again. My little five-year-old boy looked up at us, and all of a sudden he began to speak. And he said, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of God. I'll never be the same, never, 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 in Jesus' name. And that was my son's first words, and that was the breakthrough.
My goodness. Wow. And how old was he?
He was 5 years old. And what was happening was my pastor, Pastor Joel, we'd bring home DVDs of his messages. And little did we know, Connor was taking them upstairs, and he was playing them in his DVD player. Mm. And that's the declaration that Pastor Joel starts off with before every message. So it didn't matter if the message title changed. That declaration is at the front. And that's the thing that God put in his mind over and over again until it became his first words.
My guest is Craig Johnson. He's joining us from Houston. The name of his book is simply called Champion. When we come back, Craig's going to talk about the next topic. It's called God is Near to the Brokenhearted. That's a very important topic that Craig will explain to us. In the meantime, this is a reminder that you're listening to the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour. We're always very, very pleased when you join in with us and listen to us here on 94.9 FM and AM 950 The Word in Orlando. We will be back with Craig Johnson. By the way, he is the director of ministries at Lakewood Church in Houston, and we're talking about his new book called Champion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
More of the Pat Williams Power Hour in just a moment on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word.
Walking down the street one day, you encounter a man. He is dressed in white patent leather shoes with silver side buckles and dark brown socks. His trousers are burnt orange bell bottoms. Wrapped provocatively around the elastic waistband is a Harvest Gold utility belt with a large Elvis commemorative buckle. His shirt is avocado green with the name Lou embroidered just above one pocket. And suddenly, it hits you. This has to be the guy who designed and decorated your kitchen. You resist the impulse to confront him and instead call Gold Key Cabinetry at 407-232-7144. Gold Key Cabinetry. Cabinetry will design, custom build, and install the kitchen of your dreams. No matter how large or small, Gold Key Cabinetry can take your dream from paper to reality. But don't take our word for it. See what their customers have to say about them. Log on at goldkeycabinetry.com. Gold Key Cabinetry has been serving Central Florida for over 34 years. Call today for your free estimate, 407-232-7144. Online at goldkeycabinetry.com. From dream kitchen to reality with Gold Key Cabinetry.
A hole in the tax laws that saves you some.
Good.
A hole in the ceiling thanks to your upstairs toilet overflowing. Bad. Your favorite swimming hole. Good. The 10th hole in your wall because you couldn't find the stud. Bad. You need to fix those holes in your home. Call Hole in a Wall Drywall Repair, the premier small hole specialist. Hole in a Wall Drywall Repair specializes in seamless texture matching, and most jobs are done within 2 hours and with no mess. Wall ceilings. Hole in the wall is dustless, so you're ready for painting in just 24 hours. We even fix holes from plumbing repairs. No job is too small. And if you rent, let us fix those small holes so you keep your deposit. Popcorn ceiling removal available, and if you work in the trades and need drywall done, we're the ones to call. See how affordable we are. Call 844-NO-HOLES. Online at holeinawalldrywallrepair.com or HIWdrywall.com and fix that hole in a wall without putting a hole in your wallet.
You're listening to the Pat Williams Power Hour on 94.9 FM and AM 950. The Word. Now, once again, here's Pat.
Craig Johnson is with us. He's in Houston. And as advertised, Craig, God is near to the brokenhearted. That's the next topic I want you to explain to us.
Yes. You know, when we found out about our son Connor and then he had this miracle, what happened was our pastor came to us. I came and spoke on a Wednesday night and I showed Connor saying his first words for the first time. And of course, at Lakewood, you know, people are crying. Everybody was just crying and just so thrilled, you know, they spoke his first words. And Pastor Joel came to me afterwards and he said, Craig, can I speak about this miracle? And when he spoke about the miracle, that message went around the world and millions of people heard Connor's story and they began to send us emails from all over the world. And one from Cambodia where they had 10 special needs schools, they sent Connor a t-shirt that said Conquer and Overcomer. And right at that moment, I knew that his miracle wasn't just about us. It was about all the people that were going to be touched through his testimony. And I also realized that what God spoke to me in the car when he said, do you trust me? I realized that it was coming to pass because I remember we were at a Night of Hope with our team at Lakewood at Chicago White Sox Stadium, 50,000 people. And Pastor Joel asked us to share his testimony and everything. So we walked down the field and Connor's waving at everybody and I'm watching everybody as they're watching Connor's story on the screen and people are crying and clapping. And God just spoke to me again, Pat. And he just said, you remember when you were in the car? I told you to trust me. He said, look at all these people hearing your son's story. said, I never go back on my word. And then God spoke to me and said, Craig, it's not just about you. And I didn't know what that meant, but one day I was walking through Lakewood Church, and he stopped me where the kids area was. And, you know, our program's like a lot of kids' programs for typical kids. Man, it looks like Disneyland. God just said that. He said, Craig, look at what you're doing for typical kids. He said, it looks like Disneyland. He said, look at what you're doing for special needs kids. And 99% of churches don't have any program for special needs kids, yet there are 30 million kids and teens, over 30 million just in America alone, that have special needs. And autism has grown over 300%. 1 in 68 kids are being diagnosed with autism today. And God just said to me, Craig, those kids deserve the very best, just like every other child. And he said, when you look in these kids' eyes, who you're looking at is me, because when you do it on the least of these, you do it unto me. And favor will follow you and your church when you begin to reach out to these kids and families. And so God was showing me that God's near the brokenhearted. And so we didn't know what to do, but we put together a task force. And I found some top doctors who were doing research on autism. I found some top educators in the Houston area. And I found the most important special needs moms and dads. And we pulled together for an entire year a task force to formulate what would ultimately become a Champions Club. It's a holistic approach. Champions Clubs are developmental centers that can be put in churches, public schools, orphanages, hospitals, anywhere. And it has four stations. It has a physical therapy station, a sensory station, an education station, and a spirit station. And 2 years ago, we wrote the first Christian curriculum in history for special needs. And we launched the Champions Club 8 years ago. And 300 families started coming to Lakewood Church just because of the Champions Club in the first 6 months. And God just showed me, I'm near the brokenhearted. I'm going to help these kids and families through you.
Let's move to this next topic, Craig. Standing on the shoulders of giants. I love that topic.
Well, you know, Isaac Newton said, if I have seen further, it was by standing on the shoulders of giants. And what that really means is when you can't stand on your own, God will give you giants of the faith and giants in your life where you can stand on their shoulders. And it's really a message that really permeated my heart because, you know, when you're dealing with different things as serious and when it's 24/7, you know, with what we were dealing with, and no matter what somebody's dealing with today, no matter what major challenge, God will give you giants to stand on in the middle of that challenge. And those giants will not only help you during your time, but they'll catapult you so that one day somebody will stand on your shoulders.
Now I want you to explain this topic. You tell us live as a healer. What does that mean?
What it means is that I believe that God loves us to lead and loves us to be good parents and be good citizens. But the biggest thing that I believe that God does, if we're aware of it, is that we have the opportunity to bring healing to people's lives. It could be as simple as an encouraging word. It could be as simple as just being aware of the needs around us and reaching out to people. I remember an amazing story just, you know, of a person in our church, and he was a construction worker, and he worked for his boss, and his boss saw this construction worker, and he saw him every week, and he worked so hard, but didn't say much. And at one time, it became his birthday, and the boss just went down to the store, he bought a cake, he bought some candles, some simple paper plates and cups, and some ice cream, and brought it on the job site. And they sung happy birthday, and they gave him this cake and celebrated him. And the man afterwards walked up to him and said, this is the first time anyone has ever celebrated my birthday in my life. Mm. I want to thank you. And that was healing. And so we all have the capability and ability to be and live as a healer for someone else.
Explain the topic, victim or victor.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things when people are facing challenges in their life. They can either become victimized by it, or they can become a victor over it. And, you know, I look at, like, special needs families. So many of them are victimized by it. They're what's called shut-ins. But I found this to be true. When you move from a victim to a victor, the best way I can explain it is this analogy. When an eagle is flying in a storm and the wind and the rain are hitting it and battering it back and forth, the eagle doesn't stay in the storm. What the eagle does is it spreads its wings as wide as it can. And all of a sudden, the wind begins to lift it up out of the storm into the eye where it's peaceful and beautiful. And I believe this, when you are going through the storm, the best thing you can do is be good to someone else. Because what it'll do, it'll begin to lift you up. And you'll look at your storm when you get to that place where it's peaceful. You'll look at your storm differently. You'll get a different perspective on what you're going through. And then you'll also help somebody else. And in turn, many times I've watched it, they'll help you. And so we've got to be like eagles. We can't be victimized by the situation, but if we'll spread our wings and let God lift us, we'll get a different perspective on our storm and we'll be good to someone else.
Now, Craig, would you talk about Out of the Drought?
Yeah. What I found, Pat, is not only through our story, and Champion really is about one boy's journey to overcome tremendous odds to touch the world. And literally now, you know, with Champions Clubs, there are now over 60 Champions Clubs around the world. The first one we started at Lakewood. Now there are Champions Clubs. There's one on every continent. And they're in public schools and they're in orphanages. And one is in a home in Washington, D.C. for homeless mothers with special needs children. And I've just watched God use my son when we went through tremendous droughts in our life. And, you know, sometimes in life things don't always go as planned. You thought you walked through one door and it seemed like life took a wrong turn and you found yourself in a desert or a drought of epic proportions. But God can give us tools that can help us come out of droughts in our life, and he wants to bring us into the abundance of rain. And I don't know what somebody's going through right now, but, you know, I think of the story of Elijah, you know, when Elijah was, he just had his greatest victory by beating the prophets of Baal, and he wiped them out, and all of a sudden he hears that Jezebel's after him, and he runs because he's afraid. And while Elijah was thinking the worst, God was planning the best. Not only was he not going to let Elijah die, Elijah would literally be beamed up into heaven and never die. And so when you're going through a drought, I believe there are two things that can bring you out of the drought in the abundance of rain. And number one, it's pray bold prayers. Not just get by prayers, but pray bold prayers. And number two, I encourage people to speak the word of God. Find scriptures that are centered around whatever you're going through and begin to speak those scriptures over your life every day. And so with Connor, we spoke scriptures centered around healing. And we saw God bring us out of droughts and out of different things. And I remember one time, you know, we were speaking the scriptures and not only God was listening, but Connor was listening. And he cut his foot one day and all of a sudden, you know, we said, Connor, it's going to be okay. And all of a sudden, Connor just lifts up his head and said, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and they will pray over him. Mm. So he's speaking these scriptures, you know, that he heard and he related it to what he was dealing with. And I believe if you're going through a drought today, if you'll pray bold prayers and speak the word of God over your life and over your situation, he'll bring you out of the drought and into the abundance of rain.
I want you to explain not-so-ordinary miracles.
Yeah, you know, a child playing with friends, a little girl having a conversation with her mother, a middle school boy going to the bathroom by himself, a father and son playing catch, you know. I say in the book, to some, these scenes may seem very ordinary, but to others, they would be miracles. And it's amazing what the human mind is conditioned to believe is ordinary and what is a miracle. And, you know, if you can speak to your child and they can have a conversation back to you, for me, that would be a miracle because we have to develop that with Connor, and we don't have that like other people have. And so you've got to look for the miracles that God is doing all around you every day. He's doing incredible things all around you, and realize that every day is a miracle. If you were able to breathe this morning, then you have a purpose. And you have miracles that are happening all around you, and embrace those things and not just look for the big ones, but notice all the things that God's doing every day.
Now, Craig, if you would be kind enough to explain stop renting, start owning.
Yeah, I think, you know, many times in life we rent things rather than own things. You know, when we're going through different things, that's when we go to church. Or, you know, when we're having a really bad problem, that's what, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think when you begin, the difference between renting and owning, it's like having an apartment. And, you know, when you have your apartment, you're just renting, you know, you don't care for things. You don't work as hard things when you're renting an apartment. But when you own your own house, it's amazing how you mow the lawn and how you take the extra care and you do a little bit more, a little extra than most people won't do. And I think what we talk about here is don't just be a renter, be an owner. You know, be an owner with the Word of God. Be an owner with your relationships. Be an owner. Take ownership and responsibility. And when you do that, we believe God blesses that.
And how about the topic of creating a grace culture? What does that mean?
Yeah, creating a grace culture is so important because, Pat, what I learned when we had our son and we experienced his diagnosis is families like mine will deal with a few things. One is we're trying to get our child developed, and schools will tell you they're failing in two areas, at-risk kids and special needs. And the reason why they're failing with special needs is not because we don't have good teachers, but there's just too many kids now with special needs. And so these classes are packed in schools, and they have a 1-to-8 ratio and everything. So it's difficult for these kids to get help, and there's not a lot of grace around it. I think that people are pulling, and states are pulling funds when the people who need it the most need their help and everything. And I think we've got to create that grace culture wherever we're at.
My guest has been Craig Johnson, author of Champion. We've got more after this on the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour. It's 94.9 FM, folks, as well as AM 950, The Word. And remember, faith comes by hearing.
More of the Pat Williams Power Hour in just a moment on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word.
In that first segment, Craig Johnson joined us from Houston talking about his book, Champion. We go to Richmond, Virginia. Charles Chrismier is there. We'll just call him Chuck, founder and president of Save America Ministries. And his new book is out, Hearts of the Fathers. Chuck, welcome. So good to visit with you.
Pat, it's my pleasure.
So what does Hearts of the Fathers mean, leaving a legacy that lasts? What's your mission here, Chuck, in writing the book?
Well, it actually finds its root in the words of the prophet Malachi, chapter 4, which are the last two verses of the book of Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, which comes before 400 years of prophetic silence before Jesus shows up on the scene. And God, in his mercy and his compassion for the world, knowing what is to come, said that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, he will send forth the spirit of Elijah the prophet to call the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest he strike the earth with a curse. And as I came across that passage, it was as if the Lord shone a beam on that passage that this is indeed perhaps the next to last message that God brings to the earth as a wooing, a warning, a preparing for the second coming of Jesus Christ. The last message being in Revelation chapter 14, where in the form of a loud angel, speaking with a loud voice, says, "Fear God, glorify him and worship him that made heaven and earth, and then that's the end.
Chuck.
So this is a very, very important message. So many times, Pat, when people think about fathers and they think about hearts of the fathers, what they're thinking of in terms is a more of a culture war kind of thinking. Yeah, we need to have better fathers. We need to have more loving fathers and that type of thing. Well, that's all true. But the real issue here is the matter of fathering itself from God's viewpoint. And that's what the book is about. How do we truly leave a legacy that will last from God's viewpoint, not from a worldly viewpoint?
Chuck, you have taken the position that fatherlessness is the most significant social problem facing America. I'd like you to expand on that.
Well, sure. And by the way, Pat, that's not my position. That is a position that I have repeated from a variety of different sources, all of which are secular. They are now looking at the condition of our country and seeing that, indeed, almost every statistic that defines the breakdown of our society is directly linked to fatherlessness. When you consider that 90% of those in our prisons are fatherless, when you consider that 70% of the young people, young men, that are in our juvenile court system are fatherless, we know that we've got a fatherless problem. And the two main causes of fatherlessness, undisputed, are, number one, divorce. Number two, unwed child birth. Between the two of them, they comprise 75-plus percent of all fatherlessness in the country and account for about 80% of all poverty in America. So just those statistics alone tell us we've got a major, major problem. You could call it the elephant in the room, especially when it comes to the talk about school shootings and violence and so on. Nobody wants to talk about this because it will require us to look at ourselves instead of trying to focus on some inanimate object called a gun.
Chuck, is there a difference between the secular society and professing Christians when it comes to fathering?
Well, yes and no. When you consider that, and this brings us to some very, very challenging facts, Pat, and most people are not willing to talk about them. First of all, if indeed the number one cause of fatherlessness in the country is divorce, here are the facts. For the past 25 years or so, the divorce rate in the broader Christian community has virtually equaled that of the nation as a whole. For the past 15 years, the divorce rate in the Bible Belt of America has exceeded the nation as a whole by 50%. Mm. So great is that problem that about 8-10 years ago, the governors of 6 southern states declared a marital emergency. The pastors didn't declare it. The governors did. Then, on top of that, we have a divorce rate in among our pastors. According to a Hartford Seminary study, the divorce rate among our pastors equals that of their parishioners. So you can see that the entire Christian community is up to its eyeballs in this problem. In addition to that, when you add to that the unwed pregnancy, not unwed pregnancy, but unwed childbirth, within the black community, which, by the way, George Gallup has said is the most religious professing Christian community in the country, the unwed childbirth rate is 70-plus percent. Mm. 85% of black children do not live in the home with their biological father. Now, with those statistics, Pat, does it not seem unarguable that we have a massive, massive problem, and that the problem is every bit as severe among professing Christians as it is in the nation as a whole. And I believe that this is the reason why God, in his great mercy as a father, looks down on us on the near edge of the second coming of his son, and in an outpouring of compassion and warning, says, come on, guys. Come on. We got to get this right. We got to get this right. And the reality is, Pat, the curse is not coming upon us. It's already here.
Chuck Krismier is our guest. His book is called Hearts of the Fathers. Chuck, is the idea of the traditional family a thing of the past?
Well, one could say it virtually is. It's slipping away very, very quickly. And one of the ways, other than the breakdown of the family via a divorce, we know that same-sex marriage and all of those kinds of things, which Christians are prone to talk about or conservatives are prone to talk about. But the reality is that perhaps one of the greatest areas in which the family is breaking down is the lack of fathering. The lack of fathering. And look at it this way. God ordained fathers as his hand extended in our families to form or perform a particular role. That role, most fundamentally, is that of bringing legitimate authority in our families. Authority brings peace. It brings shalom. It brings, it keeps us from chaos. Not only does it provide protection and provision, but it also provides a legitimate authority as a representation of God's hand extended in the earth. All of that has been under assault now for a good 50 years, to the point where we all know about the mocking of men, the demeaning of everything masculine. It's almost as if there is an outright effort to castrate the entire society. I know that's putting it pretty bluntly, but that's really where it is. In 2016, a well-known actress by the name of Jill Soloway, on national television, receiving the award for Best Director, an Emmy Award, declared, down with patriarchy. Mm-hmm. In other words, everything masculine, everything of fathers, we've got to get rid of it. That's where we are. And that's why the rising violence in school shootings. 75%+ of all of the school shootings are by fatherless young men.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take a Philadelphia lawyer to figure this out.
Chuck, I want you to talk about the importance of leaving a legacy that lasts. You seem to be big on that.
Oh, yeah.
Can you expand on that?
Well, we're all going to leave a legacy. We are leaving a legacy, one way or the other. It's unavoidable. The question is what kind of a legacy we're going to leave. And to kind of, I'd like to give two illustrations. One, the idea of the time value of money. I think most of us realize, we might not want to realize it, but we do, that the earlier you begin to put aside a certain amount of money, let's say you want to have a nest egg at retirement of $100,000. If you start at age 25 putting away $10 a month, you can get there. But if you wait 5 years, you're going to have to probably put in $20 a month. If you wait 15 years, it's going to be much more than that. So the longer we wait as dads, as men, in taking this, shall we say, this bull by the horn, so to speak, and begin to see what God is looking for in our lives to be true and legitimate fathers who disciple their children, it's going to be a harder and harder job the longer we wait. Now, that's one way of looking at it. I'd like to also give a personal illustration. I have three daughters, and I have 10 grandchildren. When our first daughter was born, after 7 years of marriage, the Lord really put on my heart, Pat, to the importance of being a father. Not just providing food on the table and a house over the head, but I mean truly a spiritual leader for my daughter. Even before she could talk or walk, in the evenings, after I got back from law practice, I practiced law for 20 years as a trial lawyer in Southern California. And I would get back home, and I would carry our daughter, Nicole, across the street into a little park area and would just talk with her, speaking the word of God over her life. And you might say, well, what a waste. She can't talk. She's just so little. Oh, no, not a waste at all. Because that same daughter now is my producer. That same daughter understands my mission now as well or better than anyone else on the planet. She has a biblical viewpoint. She has a heart for God. She has a heart for the Father. And so over the years, that's how I trained my daughters. And I'm doing the same with my grandchildren. Hmm. So it's the matter of a legacy is catching a vision, a new and fresh vision, a biblical vision of what it truly means to be a father. That's what God's after. He is a father. The unfortunate thing is that for the past 25, actually I'd say closer to 50 years, the increasing tendency has been to reject the fatherhood of God. One pastor, an evangelical pastor, sent me a promotional piece for his latest book about a month ago. And what he said in there was, I love Jesus, but you know what? I don't much like his dad. Think about that.
Mm. My guest is Chuck Krismier. We've got another segment with Chuck. Just a reminder, you're listening to the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour right here on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word in Orlando. Chuck Krismier joins us. He's in Richmond, Virginia, founder and president of Save American Ministries and author of Hearts of the Fathers. It's 94.9 FM, folks, and AM 950, The Word in Orlando.
More of the Pat Williams Power Hour in just a moment on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word.
Your credit card companies love you. They love it when your cards stay maxed out. They love it when you only make minimum payments. They love it when you struggle. Why? Because they own you. And minimum payments mean maximum profits. Here's great news. National Debt Relief is now offering you free information on how to escape your credit card debt nightmare. If you owe more than $10,000 in credit card debt and are only barely making minimum payments, know this. You may not have to pay it all back. In fact, you may have the right to settle that debt for only a fraction of what you owe. National Debt Relief has helped thousands of people get rid of over $500 million of debt, and they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get the information you need for free right now before this offer goes away. Go to ndrnow.com now and escape your credit card debt troubles. Go now to ndrnow.com. That's ndrnow.com.
Legal representation is often about personal values. Hello, I'm Karen Eastry, attorney. For probate, estate planning, divorce, adoption, guardianship, issues concerning children and the aged, call me at the law offices of Alper and Eastry at 407-869-0900. I am a lawyer who not only speaks for you, I share your values with the experience, energy, and enthusiasm to represent you effectively. My ultimate goal is to help you reach a satisfactory conclusion to your legal problems, to find peace, and to be able to move on with your life. Call me, Karen Eastry, at 407-869-0900 or visit my firm's website, altamontlaw.com. My office is conveniently located in Altamont Springs, close to I-4. So call today to make sure you have someone by your side at 407-869-0900. Offices, Altamont Springs.
You're listening to the Pat Williams Power Hour on 94.9 FM and AM 950. The Word. Now, once again, here's Pat.
Chuck Krismer is with us from Richmond. His book is called Hearts of the Fathers. Chuck, in your book, Hearts of the Fathers, obviously it's mostly directed to men, but it seems to me it has an indirect impact for women. Am I right on that?
Oh, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, Pat, because this may come as a shock. But in the first month that this book has been out, two-thirds of all of the books sold have been purchased by women.
Mm-hmm.
Two-thirds. I received a call from a woman in New York. She said, "Mr. Krismer, I got a copy of this book, and it has so moved my heart. I have 13 grandchildren," she said. And, of course, all the parents that go with it. She said, "I want to order a case of these books, and I'm going to give one to each of my grandchildren, and we're going to go through it. And I'm going to give one to each of their parents, not just one to their fathers. I'm going to give one to their mothers as well, because they need to catch this vision." Now, here's a grandmother, you know, who gets it. And if you were to go back, Pat, say 25 years, when I left the practice of law 25 years ago in Southern California, the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, "Son, you've been pleading the cause of men long enough. I want you to plead my cause in the land as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation here in America's greatest crisis hour. And I believe on the near edge of the second coming." And so over these years, as I've traveled from coast to coast and been on the air in my own radio program for almost 23 years now, what I've discovered is that the number one cry of Christian women across the country is, "Why can't or won't my husband be the spiritual leader of our home?" In other words, women are absolutely crying for this message. I mean, almost screaming internally for it. Yeah. So this is a really big deal. This is a really big deal. And here we are very close to Father's Day and all of its implications. And it's more than just an emotional experience. It's something that should grip our hearts. And, you know, when I wrote this book, Pat, I've written 9 books now. And I have to say that this was probably the easiest one for me to write. And I'd like to share why that is. It was as if God himself, as the Father, allowed me to almost kind of crawl up in his lap and have him impart to me his heart for men, for fathers. And when I talk about this, you know, it's not easy for a trial lawyer to have tears well up in his eyes, but that's what happens. It grips me because I realize how deeply important this subject is. It's not just like, it's not some culture war book that says, you know, you do these 3 things here and you're going to be a wonderful father. It doesn't work that way. We know it doesn't work that way inherently. So what I want to do through this book is help people to catch a vision. Help men to catch a vision. Can you imagine what it would be like for a young guy who has just recently married or is just ready to have his first child or just has a first child to be able to receive this kind of message? It would change his whole life. It would change his children's lives. And that's really how we can change America. It happens one dad at a time, one man at a time. Yeah, we're being attacked. We're being demasculized. across the country. But hey, you know, they say all politics is local. Well, so is all family leadership local. Even the changing of our nation is local, and it starts right in our own home.
Chuck, you mentioned earlier about fatherlessness and this huge social problem facing America. Mm-hmm. What's the story in other countries? Are they doing better?
You're challenging me now, Pat. The reality is that as of 1986, America became the most fatherless nation in the world. As of 1986.
That was 30 years ago.
Yes. Think about where we are today. Now, here's what's fascinating. In 1994, Congress declared by a joint resolution of Congress that that would be the year of the father. 1994. You know what? It was almost like a postmortem. It was like, things are so bad now, we're going to, all of a sudden, we're going to declare 1994 the year of the father. But the reality is, from that time forward, fatherhood in America deteriorated more rapidly than ever. So that now, the social observers, sociologists, and so on, are saying this is and has become the preeminent social problem of our time.
Chuck, where is the best place to begin for fathers who feel they have failed and want to turn things around?
Ah, well, today is the first day of the rest of your life. That's the best time, right now, today. You know, it's like the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Don't walk away, don't turn away. If your heart is strangely moved and pulled now, then today. And go before the Lord and just say, okay, God, I'm not sure how to do this. I'm hearing this message. I want to be the kind of father you would have me to be, but I need help. I need you to show me how to go about. Now, here's what will happen. If you're really honest, you choose to make the change, and God will help you make the change. He will. That's what he wants to do. And it has to begin today. We can't become a proficient procrastinator. We can't put off to tomorrow what we need to start today. And you might feel inadequate. Maybe you feel like your wife is the more spiritual person in your home. That would be the case in many homes. Well, but your wife wants you to step up to the plate. It's time to be a man. It's time to put away childish things. It's time to step up to the plate, be bold, be courageous, and, you know, it's not going to happen all at once. We do it here a little and there a little. We begin by bringing our kids together for a kind of family worship. We pray with our wives. We spend time in the Word with our wives and with our kids. I purpose to spend time with my wife every single morning, Pat, in the Word. Every morning. And it's not just reading some verse. No. We're serious about it. We've made it a priority. And can I suggest to you that when I began to do that with her, my wife said it is the best thing that ever happened to our marriage. Hmm. It's unbelievable. It's like magic. So those are some of the things. The book lays out so many different ways of looking at this so that any man, no matter where you are, no matter what your background, you can do it. You make the choice, and God will help you make the change. Hearts of the Fathers, leaving a legacy that will truly last.
Chuck Krizmier has been our guest. Chuck, a million thanks. So glad we could visit, and congratulations on this important book you've put together for us.
Well, thank you so much, Pat. God bless.
We'll be back, folks, for a wrap-up right after this. Just a reminder, this is the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour. This is 94.9 FM and AM 950 The Word. And remember the motto here at this station, faith comes by hearing. We'll be back right after these messages and wrap everything up for you.
More of the Pat Williams Power Hour in just a moment on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word. Join Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, as he opens God's Word every Sunday afternoon at 5:30 on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word. If you missed the Sunday broadcast, you can listen and study along with Dr. Jordan 24/7 at WTLN.com by clicking on the podcast tab and then Riches of Grace. Riches of Grace, a service of Grace Impact Ministries at graceimpact.org. 5:30 Sunday on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word. You're listening to the Pat Williams Power Hour on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word. Now, once again, here's Pat.
Thanks for joining us here for the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour. Craig Johnson joined us from Houston in that first segment talking about his book, Champion. And then Chuck Krismier plugged in from Richmond to talk about his book, Hearts of the Fathers. By the way, Chuck's website is saveus.org. Saveus.org. Please visit my website. It's patwilliams.com, the Twitter page, Orlando Magic Pat. And check out my most recent book. It's called Coach Wooden's Forgotten Teams. A look at Coach Wooden and his summer camps that he ran for many years in the L.A. region. Check everything out on Amazon.com. In the meantime, we're back next weekend for more right here on the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour. It's 94.9 FM and AM 950 The Word in Orlando.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of the Pat Williams Power Hour. Join us again next week at the same time, where faith comes by hearing. 94.9 FM and AM 950. The Word.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.